morning. This is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico. Another beautiful day. It is May 3rd already. My goodness. I just need to say a couple things right off the bat because it's very, very important. We are on the Local Flavor with Ken Jorns. You had a lot of wonderful ladies in here, and they're going to take a lot of airspace. That was a good one, wasn't it? And I just would like to say right now the board of directors for the New Mexico counties are gathering there at the Memorial Grand County Veterans Memorial Business Center and Conference Center. And I would just like to say at 8:30, Carol and Fagali from the Upper Watershed, the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, New Earth Project. I just got back from there. She's going to be talking about the bioreactors, the Ring of Fires. I mean, she is going to be on. I've been trying to get her on with the board of directors for the New Mexico counties for the last literally year. So she's going to be there. It is open to the public. It's very, very important that you go support. And I know this is the last minute deal about Carol Ann Fagali. I am so happy and proud that she's going to be on with the board of directors. What that consists is all 33 counties are going to be down here. They represent their counties, and they're going to hear her wonderful breakdown on what's going on with these bioreactors and so on. And not only that, promoting this wonderful county here in Grant County. But now, I'm telling you, I have all these wonderful ladies here. Good morning. Good morning. How's it going?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm telling you, I apologize. I know I've been jumping around like the crazy man, but that's the name of my game. It's been like that for about 47 years. Thank you very much. And thanks to Wendy, you know, she knows how I'm bouncing around. We had meetings yesterday, today, whatever, tomorrow, whatever. But I know you guys are here for the Give Grandly. And let me tell you, what a wonderful, wonderful thing that we're doing. And we spoke a little bit about that yesterday. And then we do have Mary Stone. How are you, Mary?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Boy, that's great. You got a big event coming up real, real soon. And that's going to be the Blues Festival. And I hear that you're going to get George Carr to be the MC, right?
Hey.
Boy,
willing, huh?
We can only hope.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds good. And then we have Wendy. Good morning, Wendy. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, it's a beautiful morning. I'm happy to be here. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Boy, it is just great. Well, thank you very much. Because I was going to just run in and out because I'm really excited about going to the conference center to hear Carol Ann Fagali do her presentation because I think it's very, very important that the whole state listens about this because that's pretty much going to be the answer about agricultural on these bioreactors. And I'm just very excited about her being on there.
I would, too. I mean, for years, she was the executive director of a nonprofit here.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yep. That's actually called AGUA. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Also another organization that is participating in Give Grandly. In fact, already they have over $1,000 that they have raised for Give Grandly so far.
You know, it's I was talking yesterday about the LULACs and with the LULACs. They're also a nonprofit. They got their big convention starting off today, Saturday and Sunday. And once again, I told them, I said, you know, here it is. And matter of fact, we have the action committee in Santa Clara. I said, man, you guys really missed the boat. He goes, well, I forgot, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, you can still raise whatever funds for any nonprofits. And I'm so glad that you guys actually found that funding so you can match it up. That's amazing.
You know what? It really is incredible. And I just want to give props where props are due. So match funds are raised through Grant County Community Foundation. But not a dollar in fees is taken from them in this pot that comes together. And some of the larger funders that we have for this include Susie and Janie, Freeport MacMoran, United Way of Southwest New Mexico, Griffin Propane. But in addition to that, we have some new match fund sponsors who are pretty excited to see, and they're actually, some of them are even coming down to the event to kind of see what it is because they've heard how unique this event is. And that's like Sun Zia. It's a Pattern Energies company is coming into the area, and they're like really interested in what we're doing here. And then we have like Grant County Title the Grant County Beach, Taras's funeral home, and even First American Bank, which was really interesting because that match fund just came in yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Exactly.
And, you know, kind of on a side note, this year, you know, I think that people just economically are in a different space than they were maybe a couple of years ago. And so I know that pennies are really being pinched through businesses and in homes. But we had a couple of our normal match fund sponsors. They weren't able to give as much as they usually did. So we really had to, you know, kind of go out there. And we had an anonymous family donate $5,000 to the match fund pool because they heard that we're going to be a little bit short.
So you can actually, let's say I go here to this board of directors meeting. I say, hey, man, can you throw something for a match fund for our nonprofits?
Oh, my God.
Anybody could pitch in?
Would you?
Oh, absolutely. Can I stand up there and say, excuse me, Carol Ann, I'm going to move you to the side. We got about 65 nonprofits right now getting together on Saturday. Can you please donate $10,000?
Yes, I'm serious.
You never know.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that is great.
We are not above taking anybody's money for any reason at any time.
But, you know, it was interesting because yesterday we were talking and I was just saying Ms. Smith, that you made the comment that the people that really give the most are the ones that have the little.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that really touched my heart more than anything else because, you know, being brought up with 7 kids, 1 income, you know, and in a very small house, it was just amazing that my father gave so much.
Absolutely.
But we never lacked anything, you know, because of his big heart and gave to the church and so on. But, I mean, that's what it's all about. And, man, I'm so glad that you guys are here. And I'm going to be taking off in a few minutes because I'm very excited about Carol Ann Fagali. She is just an amazing human being. And maybe I can be, you know, hitting people in the back and say, hey, can I have your money, please?
I would love
keep
that.
It down here in Grant County.
I would love that, and I'm sure Carol would love that as well. You know, and any person from anywhere in the state, this includes anyone coming down from the LULAC conference, which we are so grateful to the museum for hosting that because that's, again, another nonprofit. So if you want to support the work that the museum is doing, you can go to givegrandly.org and you can donate to them. You can also come down to the Downtown Plaza on Saturday and go to their booth and you can donate directly to them. But I think the idea is that no matter where you are, if you live in this state, if you have lots of money, if you don't worry, we will take it all. And you can donate from anywhere at the comfort of your home, at your laptop or whatever that looks like for you. We just want to make this as accessible to anybody because it's not just about raising the money, it's about spreading awareness and showcasing each one of these nonprofits to a community and to a larger area.
You know, that's the whole thing. No matter how you look at it, the money stays here. I mean, we got the Blues Festival going on, and we're expecting probably 16,000 to 18,000 people show up and hoping to keep the money, you know, circulating here in this community. You got these nonprofits spending money with each other. It just stays in the community, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And it was interesting because one time some young lady was running for Miss New Mexico or whatever, and they contacted me down here. I went up to Albuquerque and got her about $5,000 just out of a couple of phone calls. And why not? You know, I'm helping out not only the state of New Mexico, but also here in Grant County. Excuse me?
Oh, yeah.
¿Y por qué no?
Yeah.
So exactly. I know. So, no, it's very important. And, you know, and I got, you know, Wendy here. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about the museum because I like to hear that part before I take off. You work for the museum or something
like
that?
Yes, I do. Hi, everyone. I'm Wendy. I work for the museum. I'm an education programs manager. So I'm going to be at the event tomorrow, the Give Grandly event, in Victorian costume.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. It's going to be a little hot for me. And I do have a small group of reenactors who are also going to be dressed in period dress as local historical characters, mingling with the crowd and pointing them to the museum table, handing out membership brochures, that sort of thing.
Well, if you can wear that outfit in that hot sun or doing it in front of 150 kids at the Central Elementary, you can do it anywhere, anytime, in any place.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually curious about this. You know, I was wondering, is there anything that Victorian era women did to as natural air conditioners and living here in southern New Mexico to keep them cool?
Right. Well, I imagine those were private things that, you know, we may or may not find in records. I know I'm going to be very underdressed.
Oh, very.
You know, keep things very light underneath. Yes.
Nice. Do you have to go full corset? Full corset. For this?
Well, not that anyone could tell.
No. Okay. So we'll just say yes.
I'm glad you said that, not me.
You have to be curious, you know, especially when we have these historical references here. You know, I couldn't imagine. Sometimes I feel like jeans are too hot to be wearing in Mexico.
No, and then we do have the Blues Festival here, and that's going to be an action pack. I mean, I just looked at the agenda, and thank you, Mary Stone, for allowing me and Nand to MC it, and we're already working on it. And she even says, I'll even put on a couple costumes, so be ready. And then Steven was there at the Chamber of Commerce, and we put up a little act for the burlesque baseball. He goes, I told him, wait until the Blues Festival gets in here. He got all excited. But, man, I'm really excited about that also. And it's going to be a two-day affair, huh?
Yes. So in Gough Park, it's going to be Saturday and Sunday. That's the 25th and the 26th of May. That's Memorial Day weekend. And there's going to be 5 bands playing on Saturday, 3 bands playing on Sunday. And then, of course, we have the Friday kickoff, which is going to be May 24th, at different venues around town. Right now we've got Q's Restaurant, we have the Little Toad Creek, and Whiskey Creek Zocalo. So they're going to have different blues things going on all Friday night, and a little bit on Sunday as well.
Well, so Friday night, if you don't mind doing this, just walk around with a bucket and say, hey, for the nonprofit.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, that stuff works. You had the perfect deal, man. Get the cutest little tiny kid. It's, hey, man.
There you go.
Can I have some green fleas, you know?
Yeah, Ollie is the best fundraiser I've ever met, you know?
So let me ask you, I know for the Blues, and we need to talk about the Give Grandly, one of the questions that they're asking me, it is going to be kind of fenced in like the last time?
Yeah,
perfect.
It is.
Perfect. I think that's a great idea to do that, security-wise and so many other many different things. So it is what it is. But, no, I mean, we got the museum. We got when I take off, you can go ahead and mention quite a lot of the nonprofits because a lot of people
Absolutely.
Are really asking.
Absolutely.
And I think this community, a lot of people really are really excited because of we work so much together and we help each other out.
Absolutely.
And one of the things they say, man, what do you guys do down in Grant County, man? You guys have a bunch of events and you guys like to dress up. That's who
we
are.
That's right.
But, I believe Grant County has the highest amount of nonprofit businesses in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, Mick was actually coming up with some numbers, and I'm saying, oh my goodness, just in the Southwest, that's a lot of green.
It is. There's a lot of nonprofits, and they bring in, I believe it is 10% of all of New Mexico's revenue. In New Mexico, nonprofits make up 10% of our revenue here. So, I mean, not just here in our county, but in the entire state. So New Mexico has like a hidden secret. It's our nonprofits are powerhouses. We employ people. We bring in revenue. And most of the revenue that we bring in is spent inside the state of New Mexico for New Mexicans. I mean, it's just really wonderful to kind of see that service happen across the state. But specifically here in Grant County, we have the highest amount of nonprofits per capita than anywhere in the state. I think we have like over about like 115, maybe 120 that are registered just for our tiny Grant County.
That's amazing.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Talking about first, I'm so glad that I'm going to take off in a couple seconds because I really want to be there for Carol Ann Figali. Don't get all excited, all right? And for the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance for the New Earth Project, I mean, it's just so important. And I spoke to a couple of the hierarchies there this morning, and I'm just saying, man, you guys got to listen to this program, this presentation. You have no idea. It could save so much when it comes down to agriculture. So I am out of here, okay? And like I said, please, the public is invited to the Grand County Veterans Memorial Business and Conference Center, and you can talk to any of the board of directors out of the whole state, and that's 33 of them. So please, and I'll see you guys later, okay?
Absolutely.
And let's get handed over to the most exciting guy in Grand County, the southwest of New Mexico, and also New Mexico, Mr. George Carr.
Exciting.
Good day.
Have a great day. Have a good time.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited about this. It's unbelievable. Go ahead, George.
Well,
it's always full of surprises, but.
I mean, there's always something to do here in this community. It's, I mean,
for sure. Yeah, sometimes exactly. Too much to do.
Exactly. You know,
can't do it all.
We're almost all double booking ourselves. I mean, if you just like look in this room right now, we have three women from three different nonprofits, all not only doing Give Grandly, but all doing separate events. You know, and then I know both of you gentlemen are highly involved in different activities.
We're very involved in nonprofits. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We're really good at nonprofit.
Yeah.
I have been all my life.
Besides this nonprofit, which you guys, you know, I just have to say a major shout out to Marcus and how much work he has done in promoting Give Grandly and all of the things that he is helping with, which include doing the interviews, but also helping, you know, with the music lineup and also finding the food vendors. It's like, I don't know where he gets the energy, and he's always doing it with a smile on his face, and he's just so wonderful to have in this community. He's pretty fantastic.
Well,
you guys are really lucky.
We like him.
Yeah.
You're going to keep him around.
Yeah. We definitely are. Even though he's a traveling soul these days.
I don't blame him. I would need a break from all the work that I was doing, too.
So when do people need to start showing up for setting up, and when do they need to start showing up to give?
Okay. I think giving is the bigger idea. 9 in the morning, actually. That's when we're going to start opening up the plaza and all the booths will be set up. And we're going to be having the Chiricahua Apache Nation Foundation and the gentlemen who are their drummers come down and open us up. So you'll hear their drums early in the morning signaling people to come and learn more about our nonprofits and give.
Okay, I thought it was going to be 10, so it's actually 9.
Yes, we are asking you to kind of get up a little bit early on a Saturday, have your coffee, and come down with a smile on your face.
I think that Ken needs to show up in his Mayday outfit.
You look great, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
All in red, you know.
Yeah, you look fantastic today.
One of the original commies. Yeah, I would like to point out that my great-grandparents lived on a socialist commune in Mexico in the 1890s.
Wow.
So I come by it honestly.
Yeah, you come from good stock.
Yes, I do.
I would say that.
We didn't have any stock, so.
So what can you tell us about the five bands that are going to be playing on Saturday?
Oh, I don't have a lot of my information with me, but I know that on Saturday is going to be the Illusion Band. That's a local band here to Silver City, and it's a really big and popular band. A lot of people really, really like them, so we've got them setting up for a bluesy introduction to kick off the whole Goff Park event. We also have a couple of returning bands, actually, folks that have played before. We have Mark May, we have the Kelly Baker Band, and the Alistair Green Band. They are going to be playing on Saturday, as well as Connie Branock's band. It's the Little House of Funk.
Mm.
And then we have on Sunday another one of Connie Branock's bands. It's called the Mama's Kitchen Sink. They've played recently at the Little Toads, so if you caught that, they're really, really wonderful, and I think Connie's a really amazing artist. Then we have Felix y los Gatos, that have played in the past before, and Hurricane Ruth, which I'm really excited for. Of course, I listened to all these bands prior and kind of have a bias towards the ones that I'm really, really excited to see, and I'm really glad I got front row seats, of course. So, yeah, and then, of course, we're going to have our food vendors. We're going to have our Makers Market retail vendors. You'll also see those here on Give Grandly. We've got a little bit of them participating. So come down and support your local artists and crafters. And the beer garden will be supplied by Little Toad Creek and Q's Bistro. And like I said, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so plan for the weekend. I'm sure a lot of the hotels are probably booked already at this point, but if you can get anybody you'd like to come down and join us, it's going to be a really wonderful weekend. Wear good shoes and bring lots of water.
Absolutely. And you know, Mary, you wear so many hats in this community, just in general. Like, not only have you guys put on the Blues Festival, but you are with the Future Forge, which is how you kind of get wrapped up into Give Grandly. I mean, you kind of just are a master at planning events and working with the Makers Market to make things happen here in the community. So I really appreciate it, Mary.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this will be the fifth year that we're doing the Makers Market. We started in 2020 during COVID to give artists a chance to have somewhere to go that was outdoor and safe distance with everything that was going on with the pandemic. And then it's kind of just evolved to us joining all these different really cool events. We've done Clay Festival, Blues Festival. Now we're doing Give Grandly, of course. We're doing the Southwest Print Fiesta. We joined the Gem and Mineral Show last year. So, yeah, it's definitely expanded to a lot. This year we're doing Makers Market just the first Saturday of each month, May through October, generally about 10 to 2. Of course, May 4th tomorrow is going to be 9 to 2 for Give Grandly. But, yeah, we're trying to make every weekend a little bit bigger, better, different, themed towards a different kind of activity, you know, make them a little bit more special for everybody.
I mean, I can definitely see the impact just of how you guys have allowed makers to come into the Future Forge, use your guys' resources there. But beyond that, you guys have done a lot more for the larger community than just the Makers Market with the Future Forge. Didn't you guys send up different earrings and pendants to the prospectors?
Yes, we did.
That was for Grant County?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That was during one of their big meetings that they were having, and so that was really cool. We got to be in the newspaper for that one.
Yeah, you guys, the Future Forge has done amazing work, and you guys just received a $200,000 congressional grant as well.
Yeah, that's going to be for working on the trade school, so we're going to be purchasing the lot that is right next to the Future Forge building currently to build a trade school and work on a community park. We're going to have gardens and sculptures and a bunch of different things that artists can work together on and places that people can hang out, maybe barbecue on a Saturday or whatever they want to do. Yeah.
That's so nice.
Thank you.
I mean, I just think it's really incredible how the work that each individual nonprofit does really helps and benefits the community at large. You know, if it's not Future Forge and it's not the museum putting on this wonderful gathering from people all over the state coming, it's the Blues Fest, it's the Print Fiesta, it's the Word Fiesta, it's every weekend here we have something to do, and largely that is thanks to the nonprofits that work here in the community. So not only do they bring us services for our people, and in some cases even food that we eat, they are also bringing all of the fun, you know, and in keeping all of the culture alive. You know, when we think about the things that keep Grant County just fun and active and historically relevant, I largely see that due to the nonprofits, whether it's like Fort Bayard Historic Society or the downtown Main Street. Everyone is really, really working to keep our spirits up and keep it fun and interesting. And I'm really excited to see what the Future Forge does with this expansion. And I'm also really excited to hear what the museum is up to, you know, because I know that you guys have some upcoming exhibits. I'm not going to do any spoilers.
Okay. All right.
I won't be responsible for that. But I have heard of two upcoming exhibits that you guys are doing that I'm personally really excited about that are really relevant to me as a person here in Silver City. So I'm stoked.
Well, we're stoked too, and we're in the process of having weekly meetings with the exhibit team. We've actually got our rough draft of exhibit schedules going out to 2025.
Wow.
Which is impressive. And actually with that scope, with that kind of goal and timeline in mind, it's really helping us like whoosh, focus in and really put the creative energy into the process of developing exhibits. And I am new to museum work, and I got hired as the educator. So the educator has to get educated, right? So yes. It's been a wonderful process of jumping in both feet and just being a receiver and absorbing as much information as my brain can hold at any given moment. And praising myself for when I remember things. but it's such a wonderful team down at the museum. Everyone is just so expert at what they do, and they love it, and they bring their heart and their creativity to it, and there's just a lot of collaboration going on down there. So, I'm not sure how much I can spoil. I'll say the current exhibit is the Chihuahua Hill story.
Yeah.
Which was 2 years in preparation and research. There were over 80 oral histories gathered by our curator, Javier Marufo, and volunteers from people who used to live in Chihuahua Hill or currently live there or have family stories of their relatives that lived there. And our timeline, it goes, from the 1800s into the 1900s and currently. I like to say I'm from the 1900s. I remember, the olden days when you had a rotary phone, that sort of thing. But and one of the wonderful things that I've been able to do as education programs manager, I was given the challenge of creating an interactive museum product specifically for the Chihuahua Hill exhibit. For those of you who may be new to the area, Chihuahua Hill is a neighborhood that is just up where La Capilla is in that area. And it is the original kind of founding neighborhood. It was here before Silver City was incorporated as a town. And so we've got wonderful, wonderful content, images, tiles, kiosks, interactive kiosks. So I was asked to create something that could be self-led for families. Mm-hmm. We do have a scavenger hunt mm-hmm. game for younger kids. It's really fun. It's been a big hit. So I adapted the scavenger hunt game for Chihuahua Hill. And then with some help from some interns from the college, I put together an escape room activity for Chihuahua Hill.
Ooh, wow.
So, and that's for kids, maybe 12 and up and their families. And it's really fun if you work together as a team.
Yeah,
you can do the game by yourself, but it's fun to work together because all of the answers that you're looking for are on the walls. And as you take your little booklet and you go through, you're learning about Chihuahua Hill because you have to look for the answers in your booklet. And then there's little ciphers and codes, so you can discover the lock codes. And throughout the exhibit, we put five little quote unquote hidden treasure chests that have little booty in them, little goodies for people to collect as they answer the questions correctly and go through. And it's, I don't want to give spoilers about the fun stuff there, but we're becoming history detectives. So that's kind of the theme of the booty.
Yeah, I think, I was just thinking about that. You could have, for the older kids, a scavenger hunt of finding informants.
Ooh.
In the community.
Oh.
And interviewing them,
You're giving me ideas.
I used to do oral history stuff, so that would be really interesting, a challenge like that, to see what you can find. Because, it's not only Chihuahua Hill, who I'd like to point out, the people who lived there were smart enough not to build where the river ran through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unlike the people who moved here later.
Yeah.
Okay. And smart people. Anyway, so I think that'd be a good thing because I always think about all the people that I've interviewed, 40 years ago, and none of the people in those places know any of the stories anymore.
Yeah.
It all disappeared, and I wish I would have gone to my neighborhood in East L.A. And because I've gone back there and all the neighborhoods are all changed totally. Right.
It's an ongoing exhibit. We have the intention of, continuing to add to it, too. In fact, the exhibit itself encourages visitors to share their stories. There's a phone set up where you can pick it up and you can orally record a story, your story, whether it's Chihuahua Hill or not. But it's about sharing our stories and passing them to each other. And we've got a little bullet, a little cork board where you can leave your comments or a little story. And when we switch to the new exhibit, which will be around November, mm-hmm. The Chihuahua Hill exhibit is going to move upstairs and become a permanent exhibit upstairs.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to KURU 89.1 FM in beautiful downtown Silver City. We're speaking with Wendy Spurgeon. Mick, I can't remember your last name.
It's okay. It's one of the most common generic.
Smith.
Yep.
All right. I thought that might – and Mary Stone. We're glad that you guys are all here with us. And Ken's going to tell you how you can make a donation to our station. You know, talking about powerhouses, we have a 10,000-watt powerhouse that we have to fund every month.
Right. I know. It's like a giant light bulb that you have to pay for, and not only that, you have to rent the light bulb and pay rent on it too. So it's, and also the lamp that holds the light bulb.
Absolutely.
You have to pay for that as well. So it's, and one of these days they're gonna have to get together and put a new road up there or fix the road they have. But anyway, all that takes dinero, like all the nonprofits need that. And so what you can do, you can go to gmcr.org, you can push on the donate button. And you can find a plethora of methods for becoming a member and a supporter of this station. You don't have to just, you know, say, well, I'll give $5 a month. If you can afford 10 or 20 or 40 or 200 or 3,000 a month, that'd be nice too. We take all comers. If you can only afford 5 cents a month, we'll also take that.
Nothing's too big and nothing's too small.
That's right. Exactly. Or you can come by here and you can go to 519B right across from the co-op at 6th and Bullard Street. And we have a postal slot in the door and you can put money or checks made out to GMCR into there and leave some of your personal information so we can remind you next year to give us some more. And speaking of giving more, we have Give Grandly happening this weekend, tomorrow, and you can also donate there, and we will be interviewing people. This station will be interviewing different people from different nonprofits to help promote them as well.
Absolutely.
And so the nice thing about a community radio station is we work for this community, you know. We don't give us 5 minutes every Wednesday or something. And so that's what we have here. We are focused here in Grant County, and we don't forget Hachita,
yeah.
A lovely place.
Yeah, live here, give here, right?
Live here, give here,
live
absolutely.
Live here, give here.
And the way things are going here is a wonderful place relative to a lot of other places.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely, definitely. I mean, I hardly ever hear people that move into town say, you know, I just have nothing to do here. You know, I'm actually going to turn and put a spotlight. We here at Grand County Community Foundation, we have a new youth intern, Maria, and she is actually from here. She actually lives up on Chihuahua.
Oh, really?
Hill. Yeah. And she is returning to the area, and she's got her first intern placement with us, and it has just been a pleasure to have her. But it's also so fun seeing Silver City from her perspective, you know, and kind of getting to see the joy and excitement where she's like, oh, my gosh, the Tour de Gila. This is amazing. I didn't know that this was here. Or her being able to go to the museum and she went to see the exhibit. And I was like, how do you like it? And she was like, oh, my gosh, it's so great. And so I think that no matter what you do, if you come to Silver City for even just a little bit, we're just going to, like, keep pulling you in so you can't leave.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I was planning on going back to cruises soon, but Mick here keeps just, it's always something amazing, you know, and it's just, it doesn't feel right to leave yet. I've definitely found a home again here, and it's always something amazing to do, you know, and I'm am very much a community-driven person as it is, so being a part of a community that has everybody's, like, best in mind, you know, it means the world to me, and it's amazing being here, and I'm having a great time at the Community Foundation, so thank you, Mick. Truly, it's a whole new experience, and I don't want to go anywhere anytime soon.
Good, because we don't want you to go. We're going to keep you as long as we can here.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, Raul isn't here, so I'll ask all the questions that he needs to ask.
Okay.
Where did you come from?
Well, so I'm from here, but I moved to Las Cruces when I was about 13, and I've been there for a couple years now. I've never really came back that much, just never, you know, my family kind of steered away from here, so I kind of followed in that lead, but here I am, and I don't want to go back.
Yeah, now she's back and we're keeping her.
So how are you related to Raul?
Right? I mean, everyone might be.
Right? It's a very, you never know, shoot.
Small town.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and yes. I think that's kind of the thing, is like we're all interconnected here. I just was recently talking to a gentleman who is contracting from one of our sponsors, and he said that, you know, he goes around and he looks at different communities, different mountain towns, different events, and it does promotional work for the company that he works for. And he said, look, you know, I've been doing this for 4 years now. I worked for PBS prior, and I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like Give Grandly. And he asked one of the bigger questions is like, do you see that there is competition between the nonprofits? And I was like, absolutely not. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. And just like so many of the people that live here, we're not in competition with each other. We're not all grabbing for the same resources. In fact, what we're doing is we're sharing the resources and we're increasing the resource pot. And that's probably the most unique thing about Give Grandly, is that the more people that come in, the pot doesn't get smaller. It only gets larger. Mm-hmm. And we see that because we are extending our reach beyond just Silver City. What we're doing is we're combining all of our resources. So I have my relatives and they live in northern New Mexico and in Alaska. And by that, I have been able to go up there just a couple of weekends ago, and I was talking to our brother-in-law, and he said, oh, well, you know, what do you do down there? And I was like, what don't we do? And I says, oh, well, you know, I was just at this bike race. It was the Tommyknocker. And he was like, oh, my gosh, that happens down there. And I was like, yeah, down at Fort Bayard. It's amazing. And then I was like, oh, and we're having the Tour de Gila in a couple of weeks. And he was like, oh, my gosh, I've always wanted to go. So really, it's taking each individual person here that works in a different nonprofit and extending their reach to the people that they know to shed light on all of the work that we're doing here, and asking people to come in and support these amazing activities that we have, like the Tour de Gila. I mean, to see that and to know that it's being ran by a nonprofit, it's kind of incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a powerhouse to have that here and that event down in Silver City, and not just in Silver City, but downtown proper Silver City, and watch those bicyclists go around and around. I mean, it's just one of a kind. You don't see that anywhere else in the U.S., really.
Well, that's true. We also are blessed to not have a lot of the problems that other places do.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
The University of Arizona says this is going to be an extraordinarily active hurricane season. I'm very glad to not have to deal with that.
Right. Absolutely.
We don't have earthquakes.
Yeah. I think that we live in a really special place. Not only are we prepared for the apocalypse, but we have all of the nonprofits here to support us to get through an apocalypse.
Yes. Well, actually, yeah. And we're working hard on trying to prevent the apocalypse.
Absolutely. We have, everyone has got their fingers in some form or fashion to help the community here.
So is the History Museum going to have an exhibit on avoiding the apocalypse?
Well, okay, in that vein, we are working currently on a women in healthcare exhibit. Mm-hmm. and how, you know, we're in the very early stages, but history shows that women have always come to the table in those times of need. Mm-hmm. And you've seen a really recent example when we went through the pandemic. I was a member of Rotary, and I noticed a couple of our Rotary members helped organize a sewing drive. Women in this community organically came together in sewing circles to make masks to distribute. They'd set up every weekend in front of Albertsons and just offer them to people.
Really,
and
amazing.
And that's, you know, that's how our community has historically come together in times of pandemic. We've yet to experience a zombie apocalypse that history has recorded. But I feel really safe here. I really feel like this community cares about each other, that
Absolutely.
We're looking out for each other. And that's, you know, it's huge. It feels like a family
right.
here. For
I noticed a lot of the banking industries that try to help poor people, they found if they don't give money to men. I'm serious.
Yeah.
They'll drink it. They'll go out and hang out and play
give
whatever
it to
games
the moms,
they gamble.
Give
but
it
give it to
the
moms.
Yeah.
Give it to the women, and they will create a business. And they have a very high percentage of paying money back. You know, so I think that's something for all of us people that can grow beards have to think about. You know, because we're obviously marked. Especially me, I'm very marked.
Yeah. I will have to say, though, here, just from what I've experienced, you know, I think it's generally well known that in, you know, softer science fields, psychology and social work, that you predominantly see a lot of women in these fields and a lot of educational fields and a lot of nonprofit fields. But something I have to give, like, again, props where props are due, is I have seen the men in this community step up to a higher level of service, which I, again, as a person who has a degree in social work, to see the amount of men who participate in community welfare and community projects here is really beautiful. It seems like everybody is here for community wellness and development, and everybody brings like their own personal flavor, which I just really, really love. You know, when we look, when this weekend is coming up, when we look at all of the people who have to volunteer to put this on, you know, the mix of men and women are really equal, and everyone is coming together, working together, bringing their skill set, and really showing up for the community as a whole. You know, so even though, you know, we can see what is happening in the nation on a larger scale, when we zero in on what's happening here, it's incredibly unique. And it's something that I want to honor and, you know, really be grateful for in my own life, because it is what makes Silver City my home. You know, it what makes me want to go out and say, we really want you to come here. We want you to experience this. And then leave. But we want you to come in, because what we're doing here is so unique. I don't think a lot of other communities can come in and be so excited about what their community is doing. So maybe we can be an example. You know, somebody said, oh, you know, what this thing that you guys are doing, you know, is who else is doing? And I says, no, it's really one of the kind. But we want everyone to know about it, because we want to be the example of what it looks like to work together. So please take what we're doing here with Give Grandly and go back to your own community and do it there. Gather all of the nonprofits together and raise funds together. Create an interconnection between the nonprofits so that services aren't duplicated and service gaps are filled.
Yes.
And that's something that is incredibly unique. I don't think that Mary, Wendy, and I would even be sitting here if it wasn't for Give Grandly, because nonprofits typically do not work together. Businesses do not work together. Communities often do not work together. And what Give Grandly shows is that the more people that you have working with each other, the better service the community has as a whole.
Yeah, I think people come and see that. I mean, one reason we moved here is because we watched them put Penny Park together.
Absolutely.
And everybody in the community of all different political persuasions, everything, worked together to get that park. And we says, well, this is how we think, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, because we've been – we had to be judges of a fiddle contest once. We gave everybody first place because they played music.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, oh, you play music. Yeah. Oh, great. You win.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I was actually just – I think I was looking at something at Grant County Information, and someone had posted something about Penny Park prior to it – right. being what it is now. And exactly. Yeah. And to see the comments come and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I remember the penny drive. Oh, mm-hmm. I remember all of the pennies on the floor of La Plata. You know, those memories are what Silver City is built on. And something like this, Give Grandly, is building new memories every year that it happens. Because every year, new nonprofits come together and showcase what they're doing to the other nonprofits. Like this year, I think we have 7 new nonprofits that are coming into Give Grandly. We have 65 altogether, which is a record high number. You know, I think when it started out, I think there was like 30 nonprofits. So about 11 years ago when this all got started, there was 30 nonprofits that came together in a room at Bear Mountain Lodge, and they said, what are we doing here? And, you know, because of this state-initiated campaign of Give Grande, they all came together and said, okay, we're gonna see how this works out. And it was so wonderful the first year. Beyond just the fundraising, it was the connections that were made that they decided to do it again. And that's how we have Give Grandly. And every year, nonprofits get together once a month for 4 months at the beginning of the year to start to plan this. And it is so jovial to see all of the nonprofits come together on an early morning and sit there and say, what are we doing this year? You know, how are we helping? What can we do? Where do we show up? And how do we work together? You know, so to right now in Give Grandly, I just want to say going into tomorrow, we are about $500 short of starting off tomorrow with $50,000. Okay. That's how much has been raised so far. Through online and offline donations. So we're $500 short from hitting $50,000 to start off just tomorrow. Of that, two of the leaders right now, they are running a dollar-for-dollar match, and that is Border Justice Project and Border Partners. They have a very generous sponsor who is willing to match every donation dollar-for-dollar up to like $20,000. Okay. So right now, if you go to givegrandly.org, the very first thing that you'll see is that we only have 20 hours.
Oh my gosh.
20 hours until tomorrow, until this thing all opens up. But beyond that, and being able to give, if you scroll all the way down to the very bottom, you'll see the leaderboard, and you'll see that right now Border Justice Project and Border Partners, who one would think are in competition with each other, they're going head to head right now, and they have the most funds raised. Border Justice Project has just over 8,000. Border Partners has just over 6,000. And I think the idea is that they should not be rooting for each other. However, at 2 Give Grandly meetings ago, I saw Barbara, who works for Border Justice Project. She was just waiting there. I'm like, what are you doing, Barbara? You know, are you okay? Everything's okay? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm waiting for Polly. We're going to lunch together. Polly's in charge of Border Partners. And they're meeting at Give Grandly so that they can go out and have lunch together.
Aww.
Because the fact is that they're not in competition. They're in service to one another. And they have found that what they're doing, not only do their missions align, but they have so much to offer each other. So I think that this is just a perfect example. If you have two organizations, they're here in our community, they're not going head to head. They're working in combination with each other to do twice as much.
And you know, both those organizations, it really galls me that there's not more information out nationally about what they've accomplished.
Absolutely.
You know, in the current political environment, these organizations have really risen above
absolutely
all of the really vituperative and racist kind of rhetoric, which is so common now. And what they've done is just amazing. When you consider those migrants that showed up the first time in Deming, just dropped off at the bus station, you know, and how the whole community reacted. And when you go down to Palomas and you see what Border Partners is doing, it's phenomenal.
It is. It is. You know, and I think that that's the thing is, like, you bring up a really good point is, like, what the national level is doing right now is not showcasing our best.
No, it's, you know.
But I do think that Give Grandly, it, again, another reason why it's so unique is because it does showcase our best. It showcases our best. It showcases our brightest. It showcases who we are as humans. And it brings back compassion into us, not only from the nonprofits who are participating, but every single person who either donates or volunteers, no matter your age or your background. And that's the thing is, like, it Give Grandly not only inspires connection between the nonprofits, but it inspires grassroots philanthropy from every background. We are not just looking at people who have thousands of dollars and saying, give us your money. We're trying to say, if you have 5 cents and if you're willing to give it, that it's not about the money. It's about the giving part. Yeah. It's about the heart of giving and giving with, you know, this attitude of this little amount that I have to offer, I'm willing to give to another because it comes from my heart and it's genuine. And that's just not something that we find in a lot of fundraisers. Fundraisers are really about this, you know, what's the bottom line? What goal are we trying to reach? And although goals are really important for fundraising, this is not what Give Grandly is about. Give Grandly is about a spirit of lasting philanthropy and having that be embedded into not only our community, but our younger generation. Right now, not every kid who is raised in Silver City is going to stay in Silver City. But what is going to stay with them is walking around Give Grandly, putting their allowance and their change into different buckets, participating with the fun little activities, and then they're going to go out of our little community and they're going to go into the larger world and say, where do I give? How do I give? How do I become involved? How do I become a volunteer? How do I serve the people that I am surrounding myself with? And I think that that's something that is just this overall message that Give Grandly provides. And it's really sneaky how it does it, you know, because we go under the premise of we want your money, we want your money. But really, we're teaching our younger generation how to become involved and step up and not believe in this national, you know, platform that we're all against each other and that resources are scarce. We're actually teaching that the more you come together, the more resources increase. And that's not something that we see that much.
I'll tell you that as a street performer and a busker for many, many years, nothing makes us happier than to see people send their kids up to put money in the basket because they're learning that people who are performing on the street are not bums.
Absolutely.
You know, they're people that are sharing their skills with you.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I think, you know, when we look at the list of people who are participating in Give Grandly, we have something from every region. You know, Silver Coral will be there. And this is a great asset to our community because they go to different places and put on free concerts. You guys, the radio station, I mean, you provide so much, not only to Give Grandly, but to the entire community with what you guys showcase here. And then I'm looking across the street, and I know that the youth mural has put up something in the hub and write down, oh my goodness, I just want to give a quick shout out today at 5 o'clock on Bullard and Broadway, the youth mural program is having a dedication to the mural that they created. And I think that as many people that we can to show up to that is just, again, what this community is all about. There is not a day that goes by that nonprofits aren't doing something positive for the community that you live in.
So, Ken, are you going to be busking tomorrow?
Sometimes I bring instruments down to the booth. I might have to do that tomorrow.
I would love that.
And tomorrow, I want you to know tomorrow's National Accordion Appreciation Day. So.
Okay, okay. I mean, I think that should have been the headliner on the flyer for Gift Brand.
Yes.
You know, I don't know what we were thinking. We
were talking about
this beforehand.
Well, I have several pieces to borrow.
Well, you heard it here. If you're looking for an accordion, come down to Kuru. We'll make sure that you walk away with one.
Actually, you know, we should, Ken and I should start working right now on creating a new nonprofit to bring hurling to Silver City.
Right.
Curling?
No. Curling is a sport that you play in.
Curling?
No, hurling. Well, curling would be good, too.
Like hurling.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a chancla.
Sort of like a chancla. It's an Irish sport.
Okay.
And it's very popular in Ireland, and we think we should have it here as well.
Well, maybe if you have it here, you can lure Bernadette Smith, old executive director, back to Silver City.
I mean,
why didn't you guys think of this months ago? Grace
is a good question. There's a rumor around that she's going to show up tomorrow. Is she?
You know what? I cannot say yes or no
confirm
to this.
Or deny.
Yeah, I cannot confirm or deny this.
Oh.
Right.
I mean, I would like to say that she is going to be there. But I am not
in case she's listening in, she's very welcome.
it'd be great to see her.
Yeah, I think that would be a perfect send-off, you know, to be honest. If anybody is not interested in coming down to donate, you can come down just to, you know, say your goodbyes and also say your hellos, because I do believe that the new executive director will be there as well. Yeah. So I think that not only do we get to have Give Grandly and have all of this excitement, but it's also a perfect place to bring families and reconnect with old friends. And, you know, it's the first weekend of May that Give Grandly happens. So we're just starting to come out of our winter cocoons where we can go back and to be like, oh, we can wear our t-shirts again and stroll the plaza. And then right after Give Grandly, we get to have the Blues Festival. This year, we're having the wonderful Gila celebration. And then, exactly. And then going into the fall, we'll have the Print Fiesta. All of these things, again, put on by nonprofits. You know, just wonderful.
Yes, it is. And I really want to put an exclamation point behind what you said about how wonderful it is for kids to start realizing there is a huge amount of joy to be realized from giving as opposed to taking.
Absolutely. And on that note, we want to say that the kids at the Guadalupe Montessori School will be doing a small performance at 10:30.
Cool.
So if you have little ones, bring your little ones, because it's nothing better than seeing your peers stand up and perform. So I think it's going to be wonderful for every age, every background, and all of the different nonprofits. We're really looking forward to having everyone in the plaza tomorrow.
Well, we're getting to the top of the hour, so do you want to give everybody the details about times and places?
Sure, I'd love to. So tomorrow, Saturday, May 4th, between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. down at the Main Street Downtown Plaza with the Makers Market, we will be having Give Grandly. At that time, if you would like to drop off your donations, you're welcome to drop them off to the individual booths. You can also stop by the Grant County Community Foundation and Give Grandly booth and drop off one single check to multiple organizations. And if you cannot make it to Give Grandly, like I know many people can't, Raul can't, you know, don't worry, because you can still give. You can go online to givegrandly.org and you can look at all 65 participating organizations there, and you can give to your choice. And you can always mail in one single check to the Grant County Community Foundation with all of the people you would like to give to, and we will separate that, not taking out any fees, and 100% 10% of your donation will go directly back into the nonprofit of your choice.
Until May 20th.
May 20th is the closing, absolutely. But I'm not going to lie. If that check comes in on May 21st, and you know it's for Give Grandly, I'm going to sneak it in there. Every penny in the bucket counts this time.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wendy, Mick, Mary,
and I. Maria.
Thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you for
spending time with us.
All right.
You're listening to KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and we're going to take a small break. Well, we're back, and we're not screaming, you know.
Wow, welcome back. Here we are. It's another beautiful day here in Silver City, New Mexico, and I'm not related to anybody in this town.
Do you play golf?
And I don't play golf, but there is a large gulf between me and golf. So anyway,
you know, we're
very happy to be here this morning, and now we are so happy because we have a special guest coming in too.
All right. So, what can I say? But you know, before we get back to Give Grandly, there is one national news story which is not getting enough attention, and that happens to do with Rudy Giuliani. You know, he declared bankruptcy.
I heard this.
When he filed his case, he said, you know, I'm going to really cut back on all my personal expenditures, and I'm going to reduce my monthly spending to $43,000 a month, you know, which is seriously cutting back. Well, the first month after he filed bankruptcy, he filed a document saying that he spent $120,000. And since then, according to the New York Times, he hasn't filed any of the monthly expenditure requests that you're supposed to file. And apparently his creditors are not happy with all that. You know, it's nice to live in a community where people can get by in less than $43,000 a month. But in any event, it's part of the great thing that we don't live in New York. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm going to be happier tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
So, Mick, why don't you tell us who's here?
I will. I would actually love to do that. So it is my pleasure, before I have to take off, to introduce Jamie Seacrest. And the reason why this is so important is because she is my new boss, and I need her to like me. Jamie Seacrest is the new executive director at the Grant County Community Foundation, and it is an honor and privilege to get to welcome her not only to Silver City, not only to the Community Foundation, but I get to pass off the getting to talk to you gentlemen here at KURU. So thank you guys so much for having her.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, Mick.
Do I still got a job?
Absolutely. Perfect. Really
bye, guys.
Good to see you, Mick.
Well, welcome to the show, and welcome to Silver City.
Thank you for having me on. Happy to be here.
So we've been talking all about our great event. I think it's probably the most fun event that we have in Silver City. So
I'm really excited. I can't believe how many nonprofits, you know, get involved with this year after year. And it's such a lifeblood to help their funding throughout the year and to work on vital projects that each one of them are trying to do, which I'm still trying to get to know all of them. It's been a crash course the last 30 days, but I'm really excited for tomorrow and to get a chance to actually meet everybody face to face and help them a little bit more with their missions.
Well, we're awfully glad that you're here. So why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about your background? It's really very interesting.
Well, my background is, once upon a time, I worked in the corporate world, and I was an accountant, and I dreamed of something different.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, wait a minute. You have a personality. You couldn't possibly be an accountant.
I know. That's why it didn't work out for me so well. So I decided to, you know, throw it all to the wind and see where life took me. And it actually took me to Mexico. I ended up getting involved with a nonprofit private school down there for the past 10 years, helped the organization from like a $40,000 a year operation to this year they're raising $1 million.
That's fantastic.
The school and their programs. So I'm now bringing that expertise to Silver City. You know, I still have the bean counter in me. That will never go away. But yeah, I have personality. So the nonprofit sector has been a lot better for my career and my own health.
Well, all right. I understand you met our good friend, our good friends, Bert and Susan Milstead.
They are the reason why I ended up picking this little spot on the map. And they heard that I was, we were entertaining the fact of coming back to the States, and I really had my heart set on going back to Denver. And Susan's like, wait, you need to come see what's going on here in Silver City. You like the small town life thing, right? And I'm like, yeah. I found the perfect place, and it's a great community.
Yeah. Right. They've been telling us about you for a long time, so I'm really glad you got here. You know, they're great folks because they were in contact with us long before they moved here. You know, they were checking us out and going, you know, let's contact these people, Ken and Jeannie, and find out what's going on there. And so they got here, and we introduced them to a few people, and the next thing I knew is Susan knew everybody in town, so it was involved in all kinds of stuff. So, and she got you here.
Yeah, it doesn't take her long. That one's a mover and a shaker, she definitely will shake, which is great. And, you know, that's part of, I think, our friendship is that we were mover and shakers in Mexico, too.
Right.
And we built, you know, a friendship out of being compassionate for our community and, you know, wanting to be a part of it as much as we could. So
this is better than Denver.
Way.
I'm so glad you missed Denver. Yeah.
Actually, you know what I like? It's Colorado and Mexico mixed in one area,
right.
So I feel like I get to live the best of the both worlds, right. Which is really fabulous. Right. And the weather is so much better.
Right, you don't have to have that sticker on your car when you're going on the roads like you do up there, you know?
Exactly.
They sent me a bill for what, you know? They got my license plate number? I was just driving through here, you know?
Right.
They do that in Denver, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the express tolls get to be a little brutal on you, especially if you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly, especially, you know. So, yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, and we don't have any tolls around here, so you can drive the roads for free, which is great.
Exactly.
A few trolls, but no tolls.
Well, not only that, the fact is you can drive. Your car can move.
Yes, right.
You're not stuck.
So... anyway, well, thank you so much for coming. And so what else in your background? I mean, where did you live when you start, when you were just a person with great personal charm being a bean counter?
I was in Colorado, and then I moved to Philadelphia for a while.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I kind of opened up my eyes a little bit.
It's really different than here.
To put it in a nice way, I didn't understand that people don't go outside their neighborhoods and they only keep their mentality of their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And being from Colorado in a very diverse area, I was kind of a little taken back with
a little culture shock.
But I will say sometimes in the neighborhoods, because that having grown up in a neighborhood in L.A., the neighborhood is what does the things that we do here as a small town,
right.
Because they are small towns.
Right.
And that's the way it works. But why then they get in competition with all the other neighborhoods, you know? And here we're gradually getting the mining district, everybody, we're all working more and more together all the time, which is really, really important, you know?
You know, one very tragic day in my earlier life, I took a train. It went from Hartford to Washington, D.C., and on that trip, I I learned that there are people who commute between New York City and Philadelphia every day.
Oh, my.
I mean, can you imagine?
No.
You wake up in Philadelphia, and then you have to go to New York? I mean, come on. I really can't understand that.
No, it's frightening. Big cities can be, you know. And that's the only thing that saves them is the neighborhoods, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've been to New York a couple of times. I can't stand it.
You know, I went to New York City once. We drove through the tunnel, got into the city, got out of the car, looked around. I'm like, can we go now?
Exactly.
That was enough.
Exactly.
I was a little overwhelmed.
Right. So anyway, well, good. So tell us some things about what you plan on doing here.
Well, you know, a girl always has a dream, right?
Yes.
And actually, some of the things that I've kind of noticed early on or have gotten feedback about is, you know, a lack of knowledge about Grant County Community Foundation. Right. You know, we seem to have multiple identities that don't mm-hmm. really add up to Grant County Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. So distinguishing who we are and what mm-hmm. we do and why we do it is probably a really big part of the initial mission. I'm working on a 5-year strategy right now to try to define a roadmap for us to move forward and really become a powerhouse for the four counties we serve. Not just Grant, you know, and I'm going to probably say it wrong. Katrin.
Yeah.
I've been practicing because living in Mexico for so long, you want to say Catron, but it's Katrin. So I want to make sure that I say that properly. Yeah. Hidalgo and Luna, we don't have a lot of presence there, and I really am looking forward to getting some materials together and start face-to-facing with the community members there, seeing what their needs are, what their nonprofit struggles are happening. Along with here in Grant County, you know, it blew my mind, you know, how many nonprofits are in such a small area, considering, you know, the United States is a really big place, which tells me there's a lot of need here. And a lot of need can also use a lot of support. You know, nonprofits always end up being people with the bleeding hearts that want to fix, right? But they might not necessarily have those tools that they need to get the funding to make the outreach, you know, that they want to and be more impactful. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that some of my expertise, you know, that I'm bringing to the table could help, you know, not only the Community Foundation, but other nonprofits and strengthen us. The stronger we are, the mm-hmm. better we are. Right. The more united we are, the more we help each other, and we all can become powerful with our missions. So I feel that's really important.
Right. And anything else? I mean, I know that Mick left you. She left a whole page of ideas.
She did. She left us our schedule, which is great.
Yeah.
Flying in here last minute when I was working on another project, I'm like, wait, I got to talk about stuff. Let me get my head out of the computer here
right,
for a moment.
Right.
So, of course, we have Give Grandly this Saturday, 9 to 2 p.m. It's going to be a really great event. We hope that everybody comes out, give to your favorite nonprofits, and get to know some ones you may not know. Take a little time, do their activities, engage them a little. It's a great way to really come together with the community and also make your mark, you know.
It's so much fun to walk around and visit each booth and just talk to the people and find out what they're doing, you know. And even some of them you can actually talk to before they start just giving you their spiel, you know.
Which it will be great. I'm excited. You know, for me, this is going to be a crash course and a lot more faces to get to know and remember names.
Well, you can take your camera and take pictures. And
I should.
Yeah, you know.
And then note names.
Little recording. Yeah, little recording so you know their voice. Yeah.
It's and actually a really good idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think of these things.
Maybe I should make you my assistant. Don't tell Mick.
No, I am no competition for that powerhouse.
She's amazing.
She is absolutely amazing, you know.
She's really
wonderful.
Is.
Very, very, very sm-
fortunate to have her, you know.
I feel blessed that I get to work with her. Yeah. You know, it's she's a wealth of knowledge and mm-hmm. a wealth of information, which is really good for a newbie like me, you know, yeah. who's taking a crash course in what this community is all about. So. Right.
Well, thanks for moving here and jumping right in. I mean, it's very exciting. Some of the things that you're sharing about, you know, reaching out to Luna and Hidalgo and also, you know, raising awareness about the community foundation and who they are and, you know, your identity, your brand identity. I think it's – I've been dying to know. By the way, we haven't met. I'm Wendy Spurgeon. I'm the programs manager at the Silver City Museum. That's my job, and I love it. But I wear other hats in the community too. I'm super excited to be at Give Grandly tomorrow and see all the nonprofits and say hello. It's always a big, joyful community event. You see people that you know maybe haven't run into in a while, and it just has that kind of reunion. Yes. Kind of feeling. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I do.
It's great. Also a time to appreciate accordions.
Yes.
Right, that's right.
Because it's National Accordion Appreciation Day. Right.
Ooh, everybody dust off your accordions.
That's right.
I know.
maybe Flickr will accordion through. Yeah. That'd be cool. Right. Yeah. If you're listening.
I guess that was a call out.
That's right. Yeah, I know. Actually, he's driven us around in some of the parades, and we were sitting on his cart playing the accordion sometimes.
Oh, fun.
We just play different kinds of accordions.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, no, he's great. So, and yeah, you haven't met Flickr yet, I guess.
I haven't.
No,
that's
no,
a new name.
He's a one-man band.
Ooh.
Yeah, he plays accordion, and he has all kinds of other things hooked up to it, sort of
that's
a typical...
Fun.
Yeah,
yeah. He's
yeah, surprised to see it. We used to see a lot of those in England when we were playing over there at festivals, and there'd be two or three different one-man bands set up differently, you know. But anyway, I think it's the spirit of this community is really exemplified by Give Grandly. I think
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so good we did it.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's a good. It's a good example to other communities, you know, because you go to other communities and people not talking to each other and not dealing with each other and being competitive. And it's so nice to be in a place like this, you know. And
it really is.
And that's how you get things, like you said before, that's how you get things done is by working together.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get them by fighting each other, you know, because this is a problem we have nationally right now.
And I think that's what's attracting the kind of person like yourself who's drawn here is that spirit of community and kind of breaking out of the scarcity mindset, which takes time and diligence and discipline, consistency, all that to change your thinking. Mm-hmm. And we do that by being in action. So this community is providing many, many opportunities to be the change you'd like to see in the world, to be the example of it. And then we all inspire each other. I've been saying for many years, and it was really cool to hear Mick just say it in a different way, that this town is too small to be competitive.
Right.
Like and it's a blessing.
It is.
And we're kind of like on that cusp where we're attracting great people, and there's a kind of a desire to grow, but also a desire to like hold that container and because it's so special and what we're doing here, it's a high vibrational kind of practice. We don't always do it perfectly. I mean, I'm embracing how to be an imperfectionist and the courage to give it my best try. And I have fallen down in this community and they've said, well, you know, that you did pretty good. So keep going, right? Just the way you would encourage someone who's learning how to walk. We're all learning how to show up in a higher way. And so I love that. It's a practice of breaking out of the competitive scarcity mindset and moving into collaboration, cooperation, and prosperity for all, for the good of everyone in the community.
Yeah, just appealing to everybody's deep-seated hippie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the artist. I mean, and the artist, so many. Right. And well, and that's what I love about it too. Is art is very cathartic and healing, transformational, and when you hear it, it vibrates you and your body, and it can help you change your thoughts. And when you practice music or you practice your art, whether it's a visual or a performing art or, you know, with something you're creating, artists and artisans, when they practice their skill, that's super inspiring too, because I think we all have a little 3-year-old inside that still wants to finger paint.
Right.
And, you know, is getting over the child wound of being told, you know how to paint. That looks like, you know.
Yeah, I was told that I
am
shouldn't
so
be a
sorry,
singer.
Ken. Yeah. Yeah.
I was told I had no talent in music, you know. And I know for a fact that I've made more money playing music than the person who told me that.
Right. Right.
I mean, it wasn't a great amount of money, but he was a teacher.
Right.
So he wasn't making great amounts either.
Right. The younger Ken who was told that knew better on a deeper level, knew better.
I know. I told him I can't help it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, you know, there's many of us that are like, that knew better, but we took it in and we believed it, even though it wasn't true. And now we're like showing up more in the truth of who we are and our authenticity and sharing that and saying it's okay to be you. It's okay to sing the way you sing and entertain the way that you do it.
And we have the Grant County Community Foundation.
I love it.
To help encourage
us. I love it. I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy I'm meeting you.
Give all of us support. Yes. You have a tremendous amount of responsibility on your shoulders.
Yeah, maybe I should get out the coloring book and crayons.
Yeah.
And embrace my inner child a little bit more, right? We could have a coloring class.
Yeah, you don't even need that.
And we could color outside the lines.
Yeah, but that tells you what to do. You should not just have a blank piece of paper.
Well,
the tabula rasa.
All right. I think it's really important, since we're at the half-hour mark, that I need to really emphasize, we just heard a person with an accounting background talk about releasing her inner child. If that doesn't prove the glory of our radio station, I really don't know what.
Well, we do have an accountant in town that was a mayor, actually.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but... Well, I mean, you know, in this town, it takes some kind of personality to be a mayor, too.
Well, that's true.
He was a good mayor.
Yeah, he was. Absolutely. You know, so
anyway.
So tell everybody how they can make a donation to our station.
Well, you can go to gmcr.org and push on that donate button, and you'll find a large number of ways to become a member. You can do it monthly, which we really like, because if we get a monthly income, it helps us get through the year knowing what we can expect to get in. But we also take large amounts of money. We, you know, if you're worried about your kids coming to visit and they never call you or anything, you know, you have a will. You can always change it. And don't forget us and the rest of the nonprofits in the community who do visit with you and support you. So anyway, that's another way you could do it. You could come down to our station, 519B North Bullard, and you can walk in the door if somebody's here, or if somebody's in here, you can sort of knock on the window. When they get time, they'll let you in, and you can give them some money, a check made out to GMCR or cash. We take cash as well, and we're officially nonprofits, and so we put it in the bank, and we claim it and everything. We don't need to hide it, because we're a nonprofit, and nobody would believe we'd make that much money anyway. So, that's right. So we take anything, any amount, you know. We do have a minimum. Supposedly, we have had the illusion of having a minimum membership of $60, individual membership a year, but we pretty much ignore it and take whatever anybody sends us. And we consider, since we're in Silver City, that everybody's a member anyway.
And if you're a member, it's always really nice if you can also support us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because we can really use it. It's a very expensive to run a radio station. And we have done our best to not only have our own radio station and play music we like and have people on that we love to interview, but also we always try to do our best to support our community, you know, as many ways as we can. And I think interviewing people at Give Grandly is a great way to do it. I'm glad we figured out how to do that. And so,
well, and you know, it's that kind of stuff that makes it possible for us, unlike every other community radio station in the country,
right,
to be able to guarantee that if you make a donation to our station, your karma will be turbocharged.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So that right here at Karma Corner, we're sending out messages of togetherness.
And abundance.
And abundance, right. What is abundance anyway?
Whatever helps us all thrive, right?
I mean, what do you call...
Whatever capacity.
What do you call two abundances?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering.
I thought I was waiting for something witty to come from you, Ken.
No. I'm just saying, you know,
what would be the plural? Abundi? Yeah. Let's make something up.
A bondage?
No, a bondage. No, something else. No. A bondages?
Yeah, a bondages, right.
Again,
Londigus.
That's what we're having for dinner tonight.
You cannot hear a deep philosophical conversation like this on any other radio station.
Right. What else is on your schedule there?
So we've got an art show coming up on Tuesday, May 4th. It's going to be the grand opening. We've got Susie and Janie, and forgive me, I've forgotten the other lady's name that's a part of the art show. I know her last name is Peterson. I just can't remember her first name. I'm still getting everything down, so please forgive me on that. But that's going to happen from 4 to 6 at Grant County Community Foundation.
Uh-huh.
It's gearing up to be a wonderful show. And we reorganized the office. It's got a new look.
Nice.
So it'll be a great chance for you to come by and see what we've got cooking up down there at Grant County Community Foundation.
Right. We have a new office, too, right here. So
new offices are fun, right?
They are. I mean, this is a much nicer office than we used to have. Seems more together, you know. We can look at each other easier on this one somehow. I don't know. And all these new microphones.
And this really cool table.
I know.
I mean, it looks customized for this room. It's like, it's beautiful. Everything fits just where you want it.
And we have to thank 30-something for that.
Right. 30-something gave us a grant.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I actually saw your little plaque on your wall that you were awarded. I was eyeballing it last time I was in here.
Right. No, it's actually, we made that so that people would know that we honor them for their contributions to the community and support of you know, institutions in this community. So, and I also like the way that the university has become more a part of the community than it was than when we first came down here back in the last century.
Right. Yeah. We're from the last century.
Yeah, we are.
I think we all are.
Yeah. I'm actually back from World War II, so it's a long time, and it's so nice to find a place like this to land.
Mm.
You know, in the end, we were up in Albuquerque, and the police department reminded me too much of the sheriff's department in L.A. Not a nice bunch of people, as they found out the other day at UCLA when they waited after those other people. They don't know where they came from with pipes and sticks and start beating up the protesters. And the police just stood there and watched them. You know, oh, God, I wish we could do that. Right, you know.
Terrible.
Yeah. Some of the same people went up to L.A., Santa Barbara, when they burned the bank down. And they were... The people opened their window, just opened their curtain to see what was happening. The cops were pushing, the L.A. cops went up there
would kick their door down and drag them out. Yeah.
Well, we don't have that here.
We don't have that here. No, we don't. And all the policemen I've met here have been very nice.
So the intern is trying to escape.
Yes. Yeah.
I am. I need to take some dogs to the vet.
Okay.
So, yeah. But,
nice to meet you, Maria.
It was nice meeting all of you guys. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
And I will message you later because I have a question for you.
Sounds good.
Okay, bye, guys. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Bye, Maria.
Yeah. It's nice to have young people involved, too.
It is.
Because people have commented sometimes coming in here, there's so many people with gray hair, you know. And, you know, Jeannie always used to tell people, because she got gray hair at a very young age, and she says, oh, I actually dye it that way to get more respect.
I love it.
Yeah, so. And I remember one time we were busking in Vichy in France and in downtown in the centre-ville, and this lady came up and we were playing, and I had a big red beard and Jeannie had her gray hair, and she comes up and she glares at me like I was her son or something, and forcing her out on the street. And she puts some money in the thing and looks up at Jeannie and says, courage, ma'am, courage. And we just looked at each other lovingly, and then she got kind of creeped out. So, it was actually very interesting. We did it in front of a store that sold American jeans.
Mm.
So we thought they should deserve some American music.
Mm. There you go.
There you are. So anyway, and so the next thing you have was an art show.
Yep, the art show on May 14th.
May 14th, okay.
4 to 6 p.m. Check out some art. Grant County Community Foundation does get a little bit of the proceeds. So does the artist donating the work. So it's actually a benefit for two things. You can help the community foundation and help the artist at the same time, right. Which is fabulous.
Which is also another form of nonprofit enterprise art.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Absolutely. And then after that, 2 days later, we're changing the name. It was formerly known as the Executive Director Roundtable. We're going to change it to Nonprofit Leaders Roundtable. And the reason being is not every nonprofit has an executive director, right. But there could be someone on the board or an integral volunteer that, you know, is really pushing a lot of the day-to-day forward, right. That could use to have the support system and space to talk with peers and this next subject is basically going to talk about our September conference and what nonprofits would like to hear. What would they benefit from learning, you know, from the conference in September? So that will be on Thursday, May 16th at 12 p.m. You can register at emailing Grant County Community Foundation at gmail.com. And we will get back with you and ask you what you'd like for lunch and have you in with us that day.
Is that all that information on your website as well?
You had to put me on the spot there, yes. Ken, didn't you? It is
like
not.
That.
Our website is undergoing a big back-end cleanup and updating. So right now it's just sitting with the old information. Mm-hmm. However, that was actually what I was working on before I came in, was figuring out the new content and the updates. We need some board of directors on there, and we need an event calendar, and, you know, we need a little bit more robust information out there. Right. So right now, maybe just follow our Facebook page for some current updates, because I can at least get them out there, you know, quick for the public. Mm-hmm. And that'd be a good way to know what's going on. You can also sign up for our newsletter by emailing us, and we can subscribe you and get that to you.
Right.
It comes out once a month, but sometimes it comes out twice a month, depending on what we have going on.
Yeah,
so.
Especially with the website not being up to date. Right?
Exactly. So it's important to keep those communications going, right?
The Bayou Seco website is like from before COVID hit, I think.
From before World War II?
No, not from before World War II, but before COVID hit, which is similar.
Right, yeah.
Websites age out fast. They age a lot faster than animals, I think.
I know, right?
They got a shelf life of a few years and mm-hmm. time to update it all. So
right.
It's the nice world of the World Wide Web, right?
Yep.
It's got to be fast and quick, furious.
Right. So, okay, you made one check mark. What's next?
So the next check mark that I need to get off my list will be the end of Give Grandly. So Give Grandly started on April 20th.
Right.
It ends on May 20th. That way, besides the, you know, giving before the main giving day of coming down, being part mm-hmm. of your community, enjoying each other, you can still give to your favorite nonprofits mm-hmm. up to May 20th.
Right.
And there are a few out there that they're still trying to get their $500 match. Mm-hmm. They're just a little bit away. So every little bit helps to push mm-hmm. them up to get those matching funds, which would at least get them all $1,000 mm-hmm. base for their nonprofits, which is good.
They have to have that by tomorrow or
by May 20th.
Okay, the 500, yeah.
So there's a little bit of time. We want to make sure that everybody's got time to do their thing and give, and people get paid at different times or it takes a little bit longer if they want to do, you know, a transfer and get, you know, some charitable deductions sometimes, you know, instead of taking a hit, mm-hmm. you know, on some of the money they've gotten, they can go ahead and donate it and get a deduction and not pay all those taxes, which is great in the end. So I'd rather see it go to nonprofits than Uncle Sam.
Yeah, especially right now. That's a very I've always thought that was really good to have it for that whole month long, because that way you don't depend on people can't come on Saturday or can't come in the 2 days before or whatever to extend any of these things.
Sorry, there was a Aldo classroom that was walking. Right. I could see them through the window, and one of the kids waved at me, so I had to wait back.
No, that's all right. And I was just in between, so I waved back at you. That's how that's the other thing I like about this town. You can wave at people without people flipping you off.
Or anything, I know. You know.
Or looking at you like you're crazy.
Right. Or if somebody makes a U-turn in front of you, I wave and smile, and they go, oh. Oh, hi. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know.
We don't have rush hour. There's nothing to be in a hurry for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as people have lived here a long time, that, you know, in the afternoon we get, you know, sometimes more than 10 cars lined up at a traffic light sometimes. But usually it
clears
out.
Or if there's construction.
Or there's construction. Yeah. We could use more construction actually on some of the streets. 32nd Street is taking a bit of time.
Yeah,
it's really exciting to get into the hospital sometimes there. You know, you got to be careful you don't end up in the hospital trying to get into the lane when school's getting out there at the high school or something, you know. But no traffic jams, you know. Having grown up in L.A., I sort of melt when I get into L.A. because I drove there for a lot as a messenger and stuff. So I just totally relax. And no matter what's happening, I just am relaxed. Because you have to be.
Right.
Because otherwise, you would become a crazy person, you know. And, you know, people in general, I don't think there's as much road rage there as there is in other places, because it's been crowded for so much longer than so many other cities that people just kind of go, all right, that guy got in front of me. You go to Albuquerque, you get in front of somebody who was going slower on the freeway, and they just go ballistic, you know.
How dare you get in front of me?
I know. It's not good. Right. They're going, oh, okay, I just get out of their way and say, have a good time, but please go at least as fast as I am.
Right.
But then they slow down again. It's very interesting. So I was actually really glad to move here from Albuquerque, you know.
No competition for road space.
No competition for road space. No, not at all. And it's really nice to take some of the back roads. I mean, basically every road is a back road mm-hmm. in Silver City. But, you know, through the neighborhoods and just slow down and look at the houses and look at people's flowers and trees and what they're doing on their houses.
Mm-hmm.
It's always changing.
Mm-hmm. Or see the Christmas lights that people put up.
Yeah, right.
It's really fun.
Yeah, Yeah, why take them down? You just got to put them up 12 months later. It saves you a lot of time.
You can say the same thing about the hiking trails. You know, you can go out on a lot of hiking trails and not see anybody for a long time.
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah, if you go north from here, you can walk 100 miles and not cross, maybe a couple forest roads, and that's about it.
Right.
You know, it's. I talked to a guy up in Taos at the radio station up there, and he says, oh, I love hiking. It's nice hiking up here in northern New Mexico, but every time you go over one little, one hill into another valley, there's a bunch of people living down there. You know, I says, well, and he says, in the Gila, there's nobody for days. He says, it's almost frightening, but he says, I love to go down there and hike. So, yeah, it's nice down here. And we don't have some of the issues that they have up in some of the communities up in northern New Mexico. And there's a lot of old divisions that went on up there, and some towns, like one town that we were talking to somebody just recently, there's like three families that have been running the town for 150 years up there, and it can get pretty intense sometimes.
There's a little bit of like Hatfields and McCoys going on, kind of thing.
Absolutely. You know, we actually thought about putting a music store up there one time, and we were told if we make a music store, there's already a music store, ours will be burned down within a day.
Oh, my.
Wow.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is. But I won't mention the town.
Right. Okay.
I like the town, but it creates real problems for people getting things done in town because there's always that competition.
Right.
You know, so it creates a problem. And like Mayor Ladner said,
this is a city of unconditional love,
yeah,
which is, I think, one of the nicest things Americans say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. So if you don't believe that, maybe there's places you can move to that.
Sounds like you know of a town, right?
Yes, I know of several of them, you know.
Yeah, if the mayor of Orlando said something like that, he'd probably get shot.
Oh, yeah, right.
What are you talking about?
Right, yes. Right, so what's your next check mark?
Oh, yeah. So a little bit of capacity building to help with, nonprofits, which we're going to have a social media conference on June 5th at the Silver City Library.
Nice.
It's more of a 101 to help people that may not know quite how to work the metaverse and Facebook and Instagram and, that the whole nine yards. So, and it's going to be a free class. It's capped at about 15 people. Mm-hmm. It's going to be from 3 to 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And another great way to learn how to get your promotions out there a little bit more about your cause and what you're doing and tell your story. You know, the story is so impactful.
Right.
You know, it can take somebody from not knowing who you are to wanting to know everything about you. And those stories that we share, kind of weave a little quilt, right? And that quilt ends up being your little safety blanket at the end of the day because, you've got a good wrapping around you of people who support you at the end of the day.
Right, and they know your story.
And they know your story.
Right. And they're not afraid to tell their story.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why we have three community theater groups in this town. Telling people stories. And sometimes they're written by people from other places, but it's amazing. A good play always touches part of everybody's lives. Mm-hmm. And when you have good theater groups, they can bring that out. They don't. Sometimes you go see a theater thing, and the whole thing, this is about somebody else. A good theater group will bring your heart into the play. Was that?
Oh, I would. Yeah. Well, there's natural storytellers in our community too.
Right.
The community theater here, particularly Virus Theater, was one of the final affirmations that I should actually move here. Because I came from a professional theater background before moving here. And I was ready to let that go. I mean, like, you know.
Right.
But, and it's – so that – what I said earlier about this town being too small to be competitive, that's been my mantra. You know, there are these several performing arts groups, you know, but we all – we like Give Grammarly, we all have to help each other out in order to bring the show to the stage. And there was a recent example of that with Frankenstein. There were several community theater groups that came together, you know, around the costumes, around the set, the WNMU Fine Arts Center supported that production. Yeah. It was a youth production directed by a student doing her passion project at Alda Leopold.
And she's passionate.
She's quite passionate.
Yes.
And
it's great having her on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It'd be great to get her on before she moves away or whatever she's going to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the museum is working on a living history program. So actually developing scripts and soliloquies, monologues based on historical characters who lived here and impacted the community and local history. So we'll see some of those characters milling around Give Grammarly tomorrow. I'll also be milling around in Victorian costume and, you know,
sweating.
Sweating.
Did they have bustles then?
Was the fashion.
Because of bustle.
It was all about the silhouette and
has all this airspace underneath to keep you cooler. It's like carrying a shade system for your legs and your butt.
So you can swish your skirt around, get some air going.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I'm counting on. And I'll have some hydration close by.
Okay.
Shade.
I was going to say maybe I should dress up because I'm permanently cold right now.
Well, this isn't like, you know, Bajas at all, so.
What do you mean? You mean hot or not hot? Yeah. That's all you get.
Yeah, hot or not hot, right? Yeah. So, anything? So, do you have another thing there?
I think she's got one more.
Well, I did mention the September conference that we're going to be working on. So, I don't think I really need to mention that one again.
Okay. Well, maybe if you could send me that list, and I can put it in my little calendar that I try to announce. We usually run out of time, but I try to announce all these things. So
I will send you my calendar to get on your calendar.
That would be good. Yes, we can have
communication. A good example of nonprofits working together.
That's
right. See, we don't have to compete.
Love it.
That's right.
We can just work together and make it better for everyone. Right.
That's right. That's right. So, speaking of calendar. Maybe it's time. Should I do some calendar here?
Yeah, do some calendar.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in, both of you.
Thank you.
Been wonderful, and it's been as always. It's good to speak with other members of nonprofits, and to think of all the years we've been working on this particular nonprofit, our radio station. And remember, you can go to gmcr.org to become a member, or you can go to Give Grammarly, and you can look for KUR, is it GMCR?
GMCR.
GMCR. You look under there for GMCR, and you can become a donator and supporter of this station in that way as well, and make it look really good for the end of the season when they're through it, after the 20th of May, and say, we raised $35 billion for nonprofits in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the money is going to help out Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rudy. Tough luck, buddy.
Actually, you know, I'd love to be able to say that. It's been a little slow this year, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Hopefully it's not a sign of, you know,
right,
hurtful times, but hopefully, you know, everybody's just waiting to come and be a part of it tomorrow. That's really where my hope is. There's a lot of excitement. 11 years and running, so.
Yeah, I know.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I'll let you get back to your calendar now.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy, Jamie.
Thank you.
We'll see you again.
I'm not sure.
I don't know who that is. It's probably Mix.
She's got more. Oh, good. Okay, so we have the farmer's market tomorrow morning.
That's right.
9 to 12, and that'll be right over, not just about two blocks from where Give Granly is happening, too.
All right.
Yeah, so you can go to Give Granly, give some money, go to the farmer's market, and support local farmers and food artisans. And that's from 9 to 12 over there. And also today from 5 to 7 at the Light Art Space on 209 West Broadway, there's featuring a special sale of Mata Ortiz pottery, and it's a fundraiser for the Border Justice Project. Do you know anything about that, Border Justice Project?
Yeah. They're the ones that helped out the migrants pandemic.
Right. So I read that yesterday, so I thought I'd let you, you know, express it today.
All right.
Yeah, in an expressive way. I know it's hard for Scandinavians, but anyway.
They're really good, okay?
They're very, very good. Yeah, they're really good. And so, and Mata Ortiz pottery is amazing. So that's happening right during the first Friday gallery walk at the Light Art Space at 209 West Broadway Street, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Check it out. Friday, May 3rd.
That would be today.
I know. Until Sunday, May 5th. LULAC State Convention is happening, Silver City Council 8003.
Big things are going on.
That's right. It's a wonderful thing. LULAC's been around for a long time, and the League of United Latin American Citizens.
95 years.
95 years, 1927. And so.
1929,
you're right. Well, you know, 7, 9, they're both odd numbers.
Which is why we're good on them.
Yes, right. Anyway, and they're having a LULAC night at the Toad tonight. The Nuestra Lucha, celebrating empowerment of women, labor, and land, is Saturday at 8:30. It starts at the Murray Hotel Ballroom. And also at 10:45 tomorrow, Unity in Diversity, Voices for Civil Rights will be happening, and that's at the Silco, featuring New Mexico civil rights advocates and experts with Dr. Luis Nacho Quiñones, and Dr. Stephen Fox will be the moderator, and Honoring Our Heritage will be happening, Why Our Voices Matter. Teresa Martinez discusses the importance of Latino conservation. And I know we're getting near the end of the hour. Friday, May 3rd, first Friday at the galleries. That's happening. The galleries involved will be open till 7. Friday night, Return of the Mischiefs at the Little Toad Creek Brewery. Also, Meet the Artist, Woodworker Rick O'Brien, 5 to 7 at the Grant County Art Guild, 316 North Bayard Street. That's also today. Also today, Lotus Center, 5:45 p.m. to 7:15 p.m., Wheel of the Year celebration, the Beltane. And Give Granly tomorrow. Poetic Outlaws open mic at Whiskey Creek Zocalo, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tell me when I have to quit.
It's time to say love you, Raul.
Your lady, oh, lady.